religious sister who lived in the convent with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And she wanted to see if Thérèse actually practiced the little way like she preached. She waited for a difficult situation to observe Thérèse, and the opportunity came soon. The prioress gave him a fatiguing job that was subject to a lot of contradictions. And as if that wasn't enough, the sister allowed herself to maliciously increase Thérèse's burden. But she couldn't find a single fault in Thérèse. Finally, unable to contain herself, she confessed to the saint what she was doing and asked, "How do you manage to practice such virtue in this way, even amidst labor and trial, to be constantly joyful, calm, and ever yourself?" What a great question. Isn't that something we would like somebody to ask of us? I mean, that's what we all want, isn't it? To be constantly joyful, calm, and ever like ourselves? Here's St. Thérèse's response. "I haven't always done this, but since I began never to look out for myself, I have led the happiest life that can be seen." That, in a nutshell, is the virtue of humility, and it's the key to living the happiest life that can be seen. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That is, less often, or not at all. This message is definitely a difficult one for our affluent and assertive culture to hear. I know I catch myself often wanting the best of things, or wanting more, such as more convenience, or more comfort, or more esteem. And those aren't necessarily wrong, but each of them represents a potential step away from humility. You know, Jesus shocked his disciples when he said how hard it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And part of the reason is wealth can be a trap because it ensnares us in a web of comforts and distractions and the illusion that, you know, we don't need God. But wealth, in another way, offers us so many paths, a lot of them leading us away from humility by making us think more and more about ourselves. A different example. Consider how you are when you get behind the wheel of the car. I don't know about you, but the word humble does not come to mind. I know that driving can be stressful, but it can be a lot less stressful. You know, when I drive to work now, I have to, since I did this homily, I was like, oh, I should try this. I have to force myself to get in the right lane, set the cruise control near the speed limit, and not worry about those who are passing me or trying to pass other people. It's always a more peaceful drive when I just go and I look at the scenery, maybe pray the rosary, not worrying about the other cars around me. Ever since I began never to look out for myself, I have led the happiest life that can be seen. Now, however, before I go too far, I want to be clear that this homily is about more than just practicing a virtue. Not that that's not a good thing, but humility is about being like Jesus. As Jesus taught, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." This is not just a teaching about an important virtue, about how we are to carry ourselves the way the Son of God did. Jesus shows us in a profound way the humility of God. In Jesus, God humbled himself to become man and to be born into poverty in Bethlehem. He lived the simple life of a carpenter in an obscure Galilean village. God humbled himself to suffer, to be crucified, and endure an unjust death. "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." But let's be clear. To be humble doesn't mean to be weird. Jesus moved readily among all kinds of people: outcasts, sinners, laborers, homemakers, the political and religious leaders of his day. While he was humble, he wasn't eccentric and he wasn't odd. In fact, you could really argue that he was a magnet for people. People came to him from all sides. Why? Because as we heard in that first reading, "My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts." Nonetheless, in his humility, Jesus didn't speak poorly about himself. Jesus didn't deny the good things that the Father was doing with him. In fact, he said something blasphemously true. He said, "God the Father and I are one." Today's gospel points, though, to another way that God humbles himself. Because when God held a heavenly banquet, he humbled himself and invited those who could not pay him back. He invited the spiritually poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. He invited us. Jesus humbles himself to come to us in this Eucharist, and he remains afterwards in the tabernacle. We are invited to dine at the king's table like one of his sons or daughters. But are we living like a son or a daughter? Are we seeking to imitate Jesus in his humility? I suspect that some of us, maybe all of us, are looking for a way to excuse ourselves from the demands of being like Jesus. I mean, let's go back to my opening story. That sister who was testing Saint Therese, was she eager to learn from Therese? Or was she looking to excuse herself from the demands of humility, from the challenge of being a saint? The sister admitted that she maliciously added to the burdens of Therese. We don't do that, right? You know, if we see someone who has a reputation as being a holy person, maybe acting in a way that isn't quite so holy, aren't we like a little relieved? Oh, good. Now I have an excuse for what I do. I'm not proud of it, but this is one of the reasons I stopped playing competitive tennis. Because of my weakness, my lack of humility, when there's, you know, I was losing too much sleep when there was winning and losing involved. You know, and the same thing even, you know, at home with board games or cards with the family, you know, I have to watch what I'm doing. And I can't use the excuse, oh, I'm competitive. No, that means you're just watching out for yourself. When I stop thinking of myself, when I stop trying to control everything, stop worrying about my advancement or what other people think of me, stop being consumed with my convenience, my comfort, my esteem, I have led the happiest life that can be seen. For those of you with the courage, for those of you who would like to be more like Jesus, I suggest picking up a prayer called the Litany of Humility. The Litany of Humility. Here's just a few of its lines. "Deliver me, dear Jesus, from the desire of being honored, the desire of being praised, from the desire of being preferred, from the desire of being approved. Deliver me, dear Jesus." Or this one, "Jesus, grant me the grace to desire that others may be loved more than I, that others be esteemed more than I, that others be chosen and I set aside, that others be praised and I go unnoticed." Can you see why being humble is so countercultural? And yet Jesus is clear. Everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, and whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. Like I said in the beginning, this is a challenging message for our affluent and assertive culture. Interestingly, though, anybody who knows something about Mother Teresa knows that she could be quite assertive. But it was because of her zeal for the poor, the dying, to those who she was trying to reveal the love of God. It wasn't a zeal for self. It seems to me that if we want to have eternal life with God, then we ought to strive to be like him. So, how well do you manage to practice virtue, to be constantly joyful, calm, and ever like yourself, even amidst labors and trials. Saint Therese gives us how to do it in her typical simple language. When I began to never look out for myself. If we take her advice to heart, we will become more like Jesus and live that happiest life. A happy life now among family, friends, co-workers, and acquaintances, and eternal joy amidst the communion of saints in God's glorious presence.
Let us